I'm Robert Child, and I'd love for you to join me on my brand new podcast, Stories of Faith and Courage. In gripping narratives, we'll walk alongside ancient heroes who faced down giants, conquering adversity, and hear tales of modern-day warriors whose unwavering faith sustained them through the darkest of times. Plus, we'll explore enigmatic ancient mysteries like the connection of the Shroud of Turin to the Knights Templar that will leave you on the edge of your seat. I hope you'll join me on Stories of Faith and Courage. It's available now on your favorite podcast platform.
I think there's a lot of fear of him in the mainstream establishment world. I mean, his recent polling, he had a favorability rating in a poll that was taken by The Economist magazine and another website not too long ago that showed he had a higher favorability rating than either President Biden or Donald Trump.
An excerpt from today's guest has written a new biography on the real RFK Jr. New York Times bestselling author Dick Russell is here, and I'll speak with him right after this break. I'm Robert Child, and this is Point of the Spear. Summer is a great time for catching up on military history. And my book about the 7 Black Medal of Honor recipients of World War II, Immortal Valor, has just been released in paperback. Immortal Valor chronicles these timeless heroes' life journeys through all the pain and struggle until their ultimate triumphs. I hope you pick up the new paperback version, hardcover or audiobook, available in stores and online. His book is called The Real RFK Jr., Trials of a Truth Warrior, and New York Times bestselling author Dick Russell joins us now. Dick, welcome to the show.
Hey, Robert. Very good to be with you today. Thanks for having me.
I was intrigued by the story and the man. Before we get into the book, I know you did numerous interviews with RFK Jr. How did the whole project come about?
Well, you know, I've known Robert Kennedy Jr., Bobby, as his friends call him, for more than 20 years. And we started off getting to know each other through some of the environmental issues that he was very involved in and passionate about, a fight to save the gray whales in Mexico, and then the Atlantic striped bass fishery and on the East Coast. So that's how we came to know each other. And he eventually wrote the introductions to two editions of a book I did on climate change, and specifically the big oil companies and some of the cover-up that they'd been involved in for years. And then about a year ago, I was just really outraged at the fact that so much of the big media was casting him as not just a so-called anti-vaxxer, but a disinformation specialist and somebody who couldn't be trusted. This was, you know, long before he announced for his candidacy for presidency of the United States. But I felt like a biography like The Real RFK Jr. should be written to show people who this guy really is, you know, and where he came from and everything he went through, the challenges to become an environmental leader and then a spokesman for public health and really just give people a sense that of all the things that he's achieved and, you know, working with poor communities and indigenous peoples and so many great stories. And so, yeah, we ended up spending a lot of time together sitting down and talking for the book. And then I interviewed lots of people about him. And so hopefully people will buy The Real RFK Jr. and learn now about who this guy really is.
Can you talk about the impact his father's assassination had on him and mention perhaps his rebellious teen years?
Oh, you know, it was traumatic. I mean, you can imagine for the whole family. I mean, he has 10 siblings. And of course, his uncle had been assassinated 5 years earlier in 1963. Then his father, you know, announces for president as challenging the Democratic establishment, much as Bobby Jr. has done now this year. And then his father's assassinated in the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles. And so it was just, he went through a period of not just mourning, but rebellion. You know, it was the 1960s. You can imagine he was kind of, you know, like what do things matter anymore? You know,
right?
In a sense, and he took off one summer, took off and traveled the country. Well, certainly a lot of the country, riding freight trains with hobos, never even telling them who he was. I write about this in an early chapter of The Real RFK Jr., because it was a real seminal experience for him, you know, getting to know those kind of folks, being really with, you know, walk, going around with nothing, with no money to speak of. And then he had a mentor named Lem Billings, who had been a very close friend of his uncle, all the way back to when they were in prep school together in the 1930s, named Lem Billings. And so Lem had a ranch in Colombia, and he took Bobby there, kind of took Bobby under his wing, you know, as a, because he sensed this, you know, tremendous future in him of all the Kennedy siblings, that he maybe could be the one to, you know, assume the mantle eventually in political life. And so he lived in these indigenous villages when he was young also. And for a long time, he was an addict, a drug addict, and he drank a lot. And he's perfectly open about that today, because eventually it took a while, 14 years for him to be in his late 20s before he had a very close call with not making it further on this planet. And he went into rehab. And he still, to this day, goes to AA meetings and has helped, you know, just dozens of people who were in the same boat as he was. And he's been through it, and it came out of it a much stronger and really a much more spiritual person, I would say.
Let's turn to his environmental activism. What do you believe drives that?
Well, part of what drives it is that when he was a kid, he was the nature boy of the family. I mean, he had a menagerie of animals. I mean, they grew up in rural Virginia. So, it was a very nice place in Hickory Hill, but it was out in the country. And he had an appreciation very young for nature. He wanted to be a veterinarian, actually, when he was a kid. And his father supported that, thought that was a good idea. And he became a falconer when he was very young, training these birds to fly away and come back to you and land on your arm, and loved birds. I mean, was really, really into birds. And at the same time, he had, I guess you would say, in a sense, a mentor very young in Rachel Carson, who people may remember. She wrote a book called Silent Spring, among other books. She was a brilliant writer. And Silent Spring really took on the pesticide industry, the DDT, spraying of DDT all over. It happened in my neighborhood when I was a kid. I remember in rural Chicago, growing up in suburban Chicago, and so she was vilified by the big media, and certainly by the big chemical companies, for pointing out the dangers of DDT. But his family took her under their wing, you know, and brought her to the house, and he was introduced to her at a young age, and so. His environmental activism, I think, was inspired by that, because eventually it took a long time, but DDT was banned in this country in 1973. So when the EPA was first formed. So these were formative experiences that I describe in my book as well.
His candidacy now seems like a breath of fresh air, at least to me. He threatens the entrenched order of the Democratic Party. Can you speak on that?
Yeah, I think he is a threat to the established Democratic Party, and to, you know, he wants to change, to take the political system back to what he recalls it being when his uncle and his father were around. And that was, he calls himself, I'm a Kennedy Democrat, you know, which is it's not really the party that we have today with President Biden and those who surround him, you know. I mean, he's very much opposed to what we are known as the neocons, which were around during the early years of George W. Bush's presidency too, and pushing us into the war in Iraq, which was, as we now know and even knew then, you know, there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with the 9/11, and yet there were these people who were pushing this lie, including some of the media. Pushing us to go to war there. And it's been a complete disaster, you know, for the Iraqi people. So now we have a similar situation in a way. I don't want to equate it exactly, but, you know, the Ukraine war, Bobby Kennedy has really been pushing back and saying, you know, we've got to settle this. We're pouring, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars into supporting the Ukrainian cause. And it's not that it's not a noble cause, as he says, and he doesn't like Vladimir Putin, but, you know, he feels like there are certain reasons that Putin went into that situation. The fact that we agreed with the Russians a long time ago not to push NATO east of where it was then, and that doesn't, certainly did do that in recent years. And so he thinks, you know, we've got to have a peace settlement there because it's just draining our country as well. Sure. And the middle class is suffering even more than it, you know, than it did during the pandemic, when so many businesses closed during the lockdowns, which, again, he does not support, or did not support, in feeling that they were unnecessary and in some ways draconian. So, you know, he's challenging his own party on these things, and interestingly, kind of finding more support probably among independents and even a lot of Republicans than he has among traditional liberal Democrats. The question is whether they're really liberal Democrats anymore or not, I guess.
Well, I believe people are seeking something completely different in a political leader. What type of president do you think RFK Jr. would make?
I think it would continue to be a challenge to the existing order, but at the same time, he would return things to, hopefully, you know, a sense that of America's role in the world as something that people look up to. I mean, he's spoken of America as a, once used to be an exemplary nation, you know, and he grew up during that period. And but we've come a long way from that. And he's pointed out, and I write about quite a bit in the book, in the real RFK Jr., how we've had corporate capture of the industries that our federal agencies are supposed to be regulating. That certainly has happened with the EPA, and he saw this in many, many instances, took on Monsanto Chemical and ExxonMobil and these corporations that really have been running the show more and more in recent years. And so I think he's also pointed that out, of course, with the pharmaceutical industry and how it's being, you know, it never used to be able to advertise on TV. I have a number of chapters in the book about public health as well, and trying to point out the fallacies and the censorship of him that's been so widespread and what he's really saying. I mean, he's never said he is opposed to vaccines completely. He wants safe vaccines that are tested preclinical, you know, pre-licensing against a placebo before they're injected into our kids and ourselves. So it's not an unreasonable thing to ask for, I don't think. But he's really, I think there's a lot of fear of him in the mainstream establishment world. I mean, his recent polling, he had a favorability rating in a poll that was taken by The Economist magazine and another website not too long ago that showed he had a higher favorability rating than either President Biden or Donald Trump. So I think that shows that, you know, a lot of people are ready for something new and for a leader that will challenge the status quo of things and try to, you know, he's talked a lot about let's do something about the middle class in this country, which is disappearing, all these billionaires that have been created during the pandemic. You know, we need to do something different as a country and bring this divided country together. And that's the reason he told me at one point he was going to run, is because he didn't see any other candidate that was going to be able to, as he puts it, heal the divide. Because he can, we can talk about this if you want. I mean, he's been working with Republicans, people across the aisle for a long, long time in many of his environmental fights. He knows how to do that. And he works with the common people. He works with commercial fishermen and farmers. And, you know, so that's the story.
The book is called The Real RFK Jr., Trials of a Truth Warrior. Dick, thank you so much for being on the show.
Robert, thanks so much for having me. Really great to talk with you.
That's it for this episode. Thanks so much for joining me. And if you like what you hear, leave a review or a rating or just click the follow button. And be sure to check out our Point of the Spear YouTube channel with bonus video material plus full military history documentaries. There's tons to explore, and I hope you check it out. I'm Robert Child, and this has been Point of the Spear.
Music licensed from audioblocks.com. Point of the Spear is produced by RSC Media Group.